The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
So you're a racist now, President Trump. Now, in fairness, we've always known that Donald Trump has been a racist since going back to before he was elected, when he started going on about Mexican rapists and other comments that he has made along the way about countries in Africa. And I use the word because he used it, being shitholes. And then at the weekend, he tweeted in relation to four American congresswomen. It's so interesting to see progressive, and progressive in inverted commas, Democratic congresswomen who originally came from countries whose governments are a complete and total catastrophe, the worst, most corrupt and inept anywhere in the world, if they have a functioning government at all, now loudly and viciously telling the people of the United States, the greatest and most powerful nation on earth, how our government is to be run. Why don't they go back and help fix the totally broken and crime-infested places from which they came, then come back and show us how it is done? Wow, Cal Thomas, four of your elected congresswomen, three of whom were born in the United States, one of whom is a naturalized citizen, all of whom are women of color. If that isn't racism, what is?
Oh, Matt, I think these are terrible remarks by the president. I'm old enough to remember when people opposed to the civil rights movement said to African Americans, go back where you came from. During the Vietnam War protests in the 1970s, there were people on the right wing who said, America, love it or leave it. There were bumper stickers all over America and sloganeering along those lines. Look, we are all Americans. We come from different places. And I think the issues, and whether these four freshmen, by the way, who have not passed any legislation, but the TV networks love them and the print press because they make outrageous statements, I think we ought to be dealing with the issues. None of these things improve any situation in America. And I think the president should have chosen better language than he did.
Okay. Marion McKeown, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She, her father, born in New York to Puerto Rican parents, her mother from Puerto Rico. Donald Trump, his father, born in New York to German parents, his mother born in Scotland. We have Ilhan Omar from Minnesota. Yes, she was born outside of the United States, but she was naturalized in 1996.
That's right.
Yes, a full decade before Donald Trump's own wife, Melania, was. Two of Donald Trump's three wives, foreign citizens.
Yeah.
Of course, the difference is, isn't it, in Donald Trump's case, the people that he doesn't regard as being foreigners are white.
Well, of course. I mean, and it's self-evident. And look, you know, we can trace Donald Trump's record on racism back to when he and his father were both fined and had to make a settlement in New York with the housing authorities because they refused to rent to black people. And then there was, I mean, you know, we don't have enough time in the program to document the number of instances where he has been openly racist. But I find this whole thing just really cynical. This is all being done deliberately. And, you know, almost once again, the media finds itself playing into Donald Trump's hands here, because we do have to talk about these things, but we're doing precisely what he wants, which is, he, you know, this suits him. If you look at Donald Trump as president, if you look at it objectively, he has kept a number of his very big promises. He is on course to win again in 2020 at the moment. Now, the far right, the evangelicals, who made this Faustian pact there, they would put up with his multiple adultery, his amorality, etc. If they got courts, judges on the Supreme Court, he has given them that. They didn't just get one Supreme Court judge, they got two, and they have got dozens and dozens of judges all throughout the lower courts and the federal courts as well. There was a massive tax break for the super rich and for corporations, and deregulation is happening at a breakneck pace, and we will see the consequence of that down the road. But for now, a lot of people in America are very happy with Donald Trump. The only people who haven't got anything back from Donald Trump yet are what he calls his base, the low-income, blue-collar people who live in rural America or in poor cities. And so what he gives them, he's not getting them more jobs in the coal mines and
rhetoric.
The steel mills. So he's giving them this sort of red meat. You know, it's all these immigrants' fault. Let them go back where they come from. You're right to blame them. So that's all they're getting, is they're getting this horrible, vile rhetoric. So they feel that Donald Trump is on their side, that he recognizes their problems, even if he's doing nothing to help them. And that's what this is about. It's about keeping his base, keen and mean.
Let's hear what Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Ilhan Omar said in response.
he's launching a blatantly racist attack on four duly elected members of the United States of House of Representatives, all of whom are women of color. This is the agenda of white nationalists. Whether it is happening in chat rooms or it's happening on national TV, and now it's reached the White House garden. So it is time for us to stop allowing this president to make a mockery out of our Constitution. It's time for us to impeach this president.
This president does not know how to make the argument that Americans do not deserve health care. He does not know how to defend his policies. So what he does is attack us personally. And that is what this is all about. He can't look a child in the face, and he can't look all Americans in the face and justify why this country is throwing them in cages. So instead, he tells us that I should go back to the great borough of the Bronx and make it better. And that's what I'm here to do.
As the listener says, with his racist tweets, Trump's dealings and close ties to the alleged paedophile Jeffrey Epstein are yesterday's news. Trump is the king of smoke and mirrors. And in fairness, Cal Thomas, you know, if he says now you're not allowed to criticise the United States of America, what did he do for the entire time that President Barack Obama was in power and he was launching his nakedly racist attempts to prove that Barack Obama had not been born in the United States?
Well, several things, Matt. Golly, we've loaded up the show here with all kinds of things to respond to, but I will be brief.
Take your time.
It's radio. We need to get on with the ads. First of all, Ocasio-Cortez is in single digits in approval. I doubt if she's going to win re-election. According to the latest Axios poll, under 10%. The turnout for her election, in which she overturned a sitting congressman who had been there for many decades, was extremely small. So I think she'll be gone after the next election. Second, the word racism has lost its power. Everybody's a racist now. If you disagree with anything on the left, you're a racist, you're a bigot, you're a homophobe, you're a xenophobe, you're a white nationalist, you're a white supremacist. All these things have gone out of style because, frankly, they're boring and they're misapplied. But again, I would say that I don't like name-calling. Name-calling does not win an argument any more than beating up somebody wins an argument. You may show that you're a better fighter, but you don't resolve the issue and you don't advance an agenda. So I wish he'd get off of this, but I agree with Marion. I think it's revving up the base, just like people on the left are revving up their base by attacking the president. He's not going to be impeached, but the Democrats have a very serious problem. Now, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, just a little over a week ago, was in an interview, basically impugning the motives of the so-called squad, these four congresswomen, saying they only have four votes. And I think, you know, when Democrats are involved in a circular firing squad, the president made a mistake by getting in the way of it.
You see, also what Trump is doing, and the ICE raids this weekend as well, going after the undocumented, is another example of it. He's demonizing immigrants, pretending that they're the cause of whatever problems there may be in the United States, even though it is quite clear that they get involved in less criminality than native-born Americans, mainly because they're actually fearful of the consequences of being deported if anything goes wrong for them. I want to play you something. I want you to identify for us this person, Cal. You don't know his name, so you tell us who it is once we've heard it.
The past few days, when I've been at that window upstairs, I've thought a bit of the shining city upon a hill. The phrase comes from John Winthrop, who wrote it to describe the America he imagined. What he imagined was important because he was an early pilgrim, an early freedom man. He journeyed here on what today we'd call a little wooden boat. And like the other pilgrims, he was looking for a home that would be free. I've spoken of the shining city all my political life, but I don't know if I ever quite communicated what I saw when I said it. But in my mind, it was a tall, proud city built on rocks stronger than oceans, windswept, God-blessed, and teeming with people of all kinds living in harmony and peace. A city with pre-ports that hummed with commerce and creativity. And if there had to be city walls, The walls had doors, and the doors were open to anyone with the will and the heart to get here. That's how I saw it and see it still.
You know who that is, don't you, Cal?
Of course, it was Ronald Reagan, but that was a different time, Matt.
Yeah, sorry, it's not
Reagan,
that far. It was his farewell speech in January 1989,
Excuse me.
He said other countries around the world, you had to be born there to be citizens, but one of the great things about the United States of America was you could come from anywhere, and if you showed your willingness to be American and to work and to do all the things that a citizen should, you could become American too.
Right. Well, several things, Matt. Once again, Reagan first ran as a law and order president. He was duped on the immigration bill that wound up allowing for more illegals to come in, but did nothing about the identification of them. Nobody would say that Ronald Reagan was weak on the law. You mentioned just before the sound bites the ICE raids, and we don't know if they really happened. We only have the president's word. But these were only a few thousand people who had avoided the deportation orders from federal judges, failed to show up at hearings, and were breaking the law twice, first to get here and then avoiding the orders. President Obama did the same thing. And by the way, President Obama had deported more people in his administration than Donald Trump has in his, but you don't hear much of that from the media.
Of course, you know, Marion McCown, who deported the most of all? Bill Clinton.
Can we just get a couple of things straight here and in perspective? The first is that it's not about the numbers who are deported. Donald Trump isn't deporting any more people, any more migrants than Barack Obama, and certainly not than Bill Clinton or George W. Bush. They've all deported more than him at this point in their presidencies. The point is, it's who you deport and what. So you deport Donald Trump, and all this talk about MS-13, they were going to get every single gang member out of America, and that was it. They're not focusing on that at all. You know, so Barack Obama did try and get people out with criminal records and people who had just arrived, because they figured that if you'd been in the country 10 or 20 years, it was unfair to rip up your family. But if you just come in a couple of weeks and you were illegal and you got the correct process, then you could get out. But it was all done by adhering to the law. This Trump's approach is lawless. But just to get back to the Democratic Party, I think, and I agree with Cal here, that they're in a lot of trouble at the moment because they cannot get away from this. You know, I think Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has a huge political talent, but when she said to Nancy Pelosi last week that her explicit singling out of newly elected women of colour was outright disrespectful, that was a terrible thing to do. It was wrong. Nancy Pelosi has never... She's been accused of many things and she's been criticised justifiably many times, but she has never been called a racist. So to play the race card against the leader of your own party is absolutely... You know, you're just giving Donald Trump victories here. And so when people see the Democrats infighting and ripping each other apart like this over race and over, you know, things they just cannot all get on the same page, it really benefits Donald Trump a lot more. So I think that the Democrats really need to get their acts together, and they need to get their acts together in immigration because they are running away from this problem all the time.
All right.
And it won't serve them well.
I want to give Cal a couple of minutes to remember 50 years ago this week, man walking the moon for the first time, because you were a young reporter, I believe, in Houston, Texas at the time.
I was, Matt, and I had the great privilege of meeting many of the astronauts. They really were the right stuff in many cases, at least in their professional lives, as Tom Wolfe wrote in that marvelous book. This was a time of great unity in the country, in spite of the anti-war demonstrations and the riots in our cities. Everybody pretty much came together, with few exceptions, on the goal of reaching the moon before the Russians, which John Kennedy had predicted and hoped for in the early 1960s, by the end of the decade. It was an amazing thing to watch. Billions watched around the world on live television as Neil Armstrong set foot on the moon and said that famous phrase, "That's one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind." President Trump wants to return to the moon. He's angry about people at NASA who won't do it within his timetable, which according to him means in a second term if he wins. But all of those people are gone. I mean, and so is much of the unity of the country. But it was an amazing time, and it was a great privilege to know these men and the people who supported them and the scientists and engineers behind the scene. I doubt if we'll see this kind of unity, except, unfortunately, if we have another terrorist attack on America. But it was a wonderful time, a great time to celebrate not only America, but the achievements of humanity when we're united. Public Broadcasting has done a tremendous series called Chasing the Moon. I don't know if you can get it in Ireland, but it's really worth watching if you get a chance.
Thank you very much, Cal Thomas and Marion McKeown.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.